Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and let's do a call-in now on how you have been seeing the signs of the long, bitter winter in wildlife or nature in the area as we all thaw out. We'll call it our uncommon polar vortex indicators or post-polar vortex indicators. What are you seeing as your property or your neighborhood thaws that is surprising you? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. Maybe you heard the report on this on Morning Edition today about how the colder temperatures had some unexpected effects on wildlife in the area. And we welcome our reporter, Stephen Nesson, who did that piece. Hi, Stephen.
Good morning, Brian.
And we know that you folks have stories about this, too. We just haven't heard them yet. So call in, nature lovers, wildlife enthusiasts. Maybe it's something about the foundation of your house. That's okay, too. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So sometimes on the show, Stephen, you know, we do call-ins for listeners to finish the sentence on these harshest days of the winter. It's so cold that, but nobody ever called to say, it's so cold that rats are eating the trees. But that's what happened in Casino Park in Queens, right?
That's what I found. To be specific, they're not exactly chewing the tree like a beaver is going to knock it down. They're eating the bark on the tree. And this happens pretty common. Rats, there's a lot of carbohydrates in the bark, so rats like to eat that. But this was unusual because the rats ate all the way around the tree. It's called girdling in forestry language. Mm-hmm. And from what I've learned, it completely kills the tree because there's no way to get the nutrients from the roots up to the leaves down to the roots. It destroys that sort of transportation system.
So here's a clip from your piece. This is Rich Hallett, a research ecologist with the U.S. Forestry Service, talking about Casino Park.
With the deep snow and the cold winter, probably they didn't have access to the normal food supply, and it was a lot colder this winter, so they went after the trees.
They went after the trees, they again being the rats of eastern Queens. So how widespread is this around the city? Do we know how many more trees might be victims of rats?
Well, I spoke with the Parks Department to get a sense of that. And they were surprised, first of all. They hadn't realized how bad it was in that particular park. But just to be clear, that's about a one-acre park. That's a one-acre section in a 20-acre park, mm-hmm. Casino Corridor Park. So it's not happening in Central Park all over the place, although you may spot it. It's only widespread in that particular section, but it is quite devastating.
And here's something that may be kind of analysis. We've been collecting people's stories on Facebook, and listeners continue to use our Facebook page for this, /BrianLehrerWNYC on Facebook.com. And listener Susie posted a photo and wrote, "A hungry baby opossum looked in our back door in New Jersey several nights during very cold temperatures, looking for food left on the steps by our cat." So, folks, do you have a sense of similar things happening in your backyards? Or, you know, again, Stephen Nesson, maybe this is another story like the rat story that indicates what the cold weather has implied for animal populations in our area. You also reported on the Asian tiger mosquito. This is a non-native, aggressive, however, kind of insect, and it's a vector for West Nile virus. Were they hurt by the cold temperatures more than other kinds of mosquitoes? And is that good news?
Well, I spoke with the head of the Suffolk County Vector Control Program, and he told me that because the Asian tiger mosquito comes from the south, it's used to obviously much warmer climates. They are very good, sort of rugged survivors of the winter. But with this many cold days for so consistently for so long, also relatively light rainfall. We got some snow, but not a lot of rain. It wasn't a very wet winter, and that's good for killing their eggs. If they can't breed, they can't produce.
Remember when the West Nile scare first started and they told everybody to go and clean out those puddles of water on your property. Not so many puddles of water.
Exactly. However, I was told that they are amazing at laying eggs in the tiniest of places. Even the head of the vector control told me, even in the size of a shell, the water that's in a shell, they could lay eggs there. So he doesn't expect it to be totally eradicated. But because it's been such a cold spring, he doubts it'll be as strong as it's been in previous years.
So those are the Asian tiger mom mosquitoes laying all those eggs anywhere. Wendy in Red Bank, you're on WNYC. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. I'm calling because I'm a veterinarian, and everybody seems to come in and say, I can't believe my pet has fleas. It's been so cold. I just didn't think there was going to be many this year. And actually, the flea eggs like cold weather and they like the snow. It helps. It provides insulation, this snow will.
Huh.
And I'm seeing more fleas than I ever had in 15 years of practice.
Oh, that's an uncommon polar vortex indicator. Wendy, thank you very much. Stephen, I don't know if it's in your knowledge base to know if fleas like the cold in the snow, even as Asian tiger mosquitoes don't.
I'm getting itchy just thinking about it.
Just thinking about it. Let's go to Margaret in Bergen County. You're on WNYC. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Brian. I just have a quick question, and it has to do with my plants that are outside my house. Everything almost looks like it has like a freezer burn, my azalea, my laurel, and I was just wondering, is this normal or natural? But the leaves just aren't green. There's like a rusty tint to everything.
Interesting. Listeners, anybody else have that in your gardens or your yards or your neighborhood parks? 212-433-9692, or post it to Facebook or WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. You know, talking about all these insects, Stephen, some listeners may remember a segment we did in December about the southern pine beetle, an insect that's been creeping northward and threatening the New Jersey pine lands big time. Here's a clip from Aaron Weed, a Dartmouth researcher, who told us about that beetle in December.
Basically, there's just been an absence of lethally cold winter temperatures in New Jersey that has permitted their populations to expand greatly. So the coldest night that it gets in the winter has dramatically increased by about 4 degrees centigrade or about 7, 8 degrees Fahrenheit over the last 50 years. And this is what we consider to be very strong evidence in permitting their northward expansion.
Aaron Weed from Dartmouth on the show in December. And remarkable, Stephen, because just before we were going to find out how cold this winter was really going to be, he's talking about how we don't get lethally cold winters anymore. And this is really threatening the pine forests of New Jersey. So did the cold winter kill off these beetles?
Well, I didn't get into that in my particular story, but I did speak with some experts about it. And they can't say for certain. We'll know later in the season how bad they were affected by the cold weather. It certainly put a dent in the population, is what folks said. But it doesn't mean it's eradicated. It doesn't mean it's extinguished for good.
Joanne in Westchester, what's your uncommon polar vortex indicator? Hi there.
Hi. Well, in years past, the slopes, I live in Hastings on Hudson, used to be covered with this blooming azaleas. So many, you didn't know what to do with all the blooms. This year, the deer have absolutely annihilated and finished off all the azaleas. They've eaten all the leaves, and that's where they get their nourishment, so they won't be coming back. So it's going to be quite a different looking landscape. So I just miss the azaleas. They also ate any rhododendron that they could reach. So they were very hungry. And, Hastings has started a contraceptive program to cut down the population of the deer, but they turned out to be so elusive once the darters got out.
So this kind of,
they were only able to find 8 does to inoculate.
Huh. And this kind of backs up the caller from Bergen County who saw, you know, kind of deficient green leaves coming out, and you're saying they're not there as much, and so the deer are going after other growing things.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank
you. Steve in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, how you doing? I live in Brooklyn, and I noticed, in my neighborhood, we have a couple of churches with cemeteries where raccoons like to hide out. And at night, you can tell when they've been around when you put out your garbage, and they tear into it. And I'm noticing that they're coming out earlier now, in the season because I see on I removed my grass and put down mulch, and there's large footprints all over the place in the morning sometimes.
Raccoons in Brooklyn. Thank you very much, Steve. We have skunks in my neighborhood. Do you know there's skunks in Manhattan, Stephen Nesson?
I've smelled some bad stuff in the city. I don't know if I've ever smelled skunk in the city.
Inwood, the northern tip of Manhattan, we have a 12-month skunk population. They seem to always be there. 9 years or so I've lived in that neighborhood. The skunks do not seem to disappear with whatever kind of weather. But there are only a few of them. But, oh, there's that. Oh, that skunk is on this block today. Here are a few other post-polar vortex reports that we're getting on our Facebook page. Joanna posted less deer poop in the backyard. I think they had trouble navigating the icy snow. Listener gardener Elaine posted that some young redbud trees in her garden suffered from the weight of the snow on their branches and have split. Pat posted, funny you should ask. I just spent the last hour cutting out all the dead leaves and culms from my freeze-hardy Fragasia, is that how you say it, bamboo, which originates in the frigid mountains of China. And Stephen Nesson, before you go,
yeah,
you have to tell us about the bird.
Yes.
That hasn't been seen in New York City since 1987.
Very exciting for bird watchers. If you ask anyone, what's the most exciting thing you've seen this winter? They're going to tell you it's the red-necked grebe. It kind of looks like a duck if you don't really know what you're looking for. It's got a black cap, kind of pale cheeks, and it's got this awesome, beautiful red neck, which gets redder during breeding season. I spotted one myself in Central Park. I was out with two bird watchers hunting for this very thing, and within minutes, a red-necked grebe alighted on the water. Every camera goes up, binoculars to their faces. Quite exciting. Very rare. There's only been about a dozen in Central Park spotted this winter, 20 to 35 in New York Harbor on the Brooklyn side. You can go to ebird.com, the favorite birdwatching site, to see when and where they were spotted.
WNYC's Stephen Nesson with a great assignment this week, going out and tracking the grebes and the rats of Casino Park.
Channeling my inner David Attenborough for New York.
Happy post-polar vortex.
You too, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. You can hear Stephen Nesson's whole piece on our website, WNYC.org. And coming up next, if you've been accepted for more than one college for next fall, what should you do now? We'll hear about new ways that parents are gaming the system and why colleges hate that. Stay with us.